Thanks, Harold. Thanks, Janice. All right, well, let's open together to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Pick up where we left off last week, verse 27. Exodus 4, 27. I'm just going to read through the end of the chapter at verse 31, page 47, 48, if you'd like to read along with us in the Pew Bible. Now, I'd like to use this little passage to shape our thinking. You know, so just imagine that I got a hot iron. And that hot iron is the Word of God, and you're going to let me shape your thoughts with this hot iron tonight. Now, it's a little iron, just a few verses in Exodus 4. So I want to shape our thinking specifically about ministry and ministers. And I know that there's a lot that falls under that category. So let's just start with wherever you are. Whatever comes into your mind when you hear ministry and ministers, just hold that. Because that's what I want to use this little paragraph to shape. You know, as you spiritually mature, these two things, ministry and ministers, they become more important to you. And we know that because the Bible says that as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we were talking about this morning, we start to care about good works. We start to care about what we do with our time, what we do with our money. We start to care about the things that God cares about. So, as that happens, as we mature, we start to care more about ministry and ministers. So, I'm assuming that you're growing. I'm assuming that the Spirit of God is within you and that the desire to do something for Him that matters, that will outlive you, I'm assuming that that's growing. And I want to speak in to that part of your life as we re-enter now the life of Moses in Exodus 4, 27 to 31. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that He had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we believe what we've been taught, that the Word of God is like a sword. And when it's open, when it's going forth, it pierces into our heart. It goes into our thoughts, and it divides. It distinguishes good from evil, right from wrong, light from darkness. And so, Father, we are trusting Your Word, even now as it's been read. And I pray for these friends that tonight You would answer Paul's prayer that Richard has been preaching for the last 2 weeks. Paul prayed that God would give a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened to know what our hope is as Christians and the power available to us. So, Father, I'm asking that You answer that prayer and that You shape our thinking tonight with this part of the Old Testament. So help me and help these dear friends and renew us now by transforming our mind. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay. Does everyone know what a twisty tie is? Just a little review in case we don't. Okay, twisty tie. It's a little piece of metal wire that usually has some paper on it, about yay long. I guess they can be longer, but yay long. And you use a twisty tie, surprise, to tie things together that you want to bundle. So if you've got some loose things and you want to tie those together in a bundle, well, you can take a little twisty tie and you can take the two ends and you can twist them together. And that's how a twisty tie works. You take the thing that you want to bind together, you wrap the two ends around it, and you twist until you got one long tie. Now, because of the internet, social media, live streaming, there is a lot that can be said about ministry and ministers. And there's a lot that you have access to when it comes to your thinking about all that. And so, you might need a twisty tie. Or at least I do. I need a twisty tie. I need something to bundle up all my thoughts and all my questions about all of this. Particularly in this season of life as a church. How do we bundle up all our thoughts and all that's out there about what happens in buildings like this? So we need a twisty tie. And so I'm going to ask if I can do some brain surgery for a little while and do some twisting in your brain, in your thinking, when it comes to ministry and ministers. And all I mean by that is holy service and holy servants. So that includes you, not just me. So I want to use this little part of Moses' life to tie all that together. And the way I'd like to do that is have you look at the passage again, and I wonder if you can see what I see. When you look at verses 27 and 28, do you see two assistants? When you look at verses 29 and 30, do you see two administrators? And when you look at verse 31, do you see God's blessing on them and their work? That's simple, I know, but it's really important. Because if you just took a glance at the passage, you say, okay, my Bible has no word for assistant, no word for administrator. Please show me where that's coming from. Well, I'm actually getting those words from the New Testament. Because see, according to the apostles, and the Apostle Paul in particular, ministers, people like Moses and Aaron and Hunter and Richard and even all of you in certain respects, according to the New Testament, we are assistants. Assistants of Jesus Christ. That's the word Paul uses. And we are administrators of divine affairs. Now, I'm just quoting 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let all in the church, says Paul, regard those who do what I'm doing now, the quote, minister, let you regard me as an assistant of Jesus Christ. And literally an administrator of divine affairs or the mysteries of God. Now what I'm asking us to do tonight is take that back into this story and say, is God teaching us this is how I want you to think and to relate to your minister? Now that you see what I'm doing? I'm taking a New Testament passage that says ministers are assistants of Jesus Christ, assistants of the Lord. They are administrators of divine affairs, of holy matters. And I'm taking that back into this story and saying, you see, that's in the Old Testament too. And I'm saying, and like a little twisty tie, I want you to tie those together. So when you hear the word minister, that's what you think. Assistant, administrator, tied together in one man. Now as we go forward, hopefully I can show you why that's so important. Okay, so first, let's see if we can see Moses and Aaron acting as the Lord's assistants in verse 27 and 28. Now what I'm going to show you is very elementary. I know that, but I do think it's important. So how do we tell? How could we tell that in these two little verses, Aaron and Moses are acting as assistants? How would we know that? Well, let's, you know, to use some cliches, just in this little bit, who's the chief and who are the Indians? Who's doing the planning? Like, who's got the big picture and who's just doing the executing? Who's doing the planning? Who's doing the executing? Who's making the decisions and who's carrying them out? Okay? So what I'm really trying to ask is who is assisting who here? Because, pause before I look at Aaron, it can easily go the other way around. It can easily be that God is assisting you in life instead of you assisting Him. So the order matters. Who is assisting who? That's the key question. So Aaron goes to meet his brother Moses at Sinai. Now he does that according to verse 27 because he has been told to do that. The Lord had said to Aaron, go meet Moses in the wilderness, about 200 miles away from where he's living in northwest Egypt. So that's Aaron. And he goes to meet his brother. He kisses him. This is a warm reception. No hostility. They're happy to see one another. And then Moses relays to Aaron everything that the Lord told him to say and to do. He relays to Aaron, his brother, all the words of the Lord. Now pay attention to this little bit. Which he sent him to say. Moses is sent. He doesn't see the whole plan here. He's an assistant. And all the signs with which he was commanded to do. So, you got two men doing very ordinary things. Walking and talking. Why? Because that's what they were told to do. So, again, my first little twist here is to say this. Let's learn to regard ministers as assistants first. They don't have all the answers. I was talking to a minister friend of mine, and he was pretty bold. But he said, you know, I've run into a certain thing with pastors that they think they have to be omnicompetent, like always have an answer. And he said to me, you know, you've got a little bit of that. And I thought, ugh. And I was like, you know how I know he's right? When this is embarrassing, it's true. When have any of you ever asked me a question and I have said, I don't know? When have I ever said that? I don't think I have. See, this hasn't quite sunk in. Even though next to my door, you know what it says? Assistant. It says assistant, but this hasn't quite sunk in yet. That I'm not the one with the big picture here. I'm not the one with the vision. Even if my title said senior, I'm still not the one with the big picture. Moses didn't have it. He had some. He didn't have all. So when I say let's learn to regard ministers as assistants, probably goes without saying that we got to adjust our expectations accordingly. And that includes my own expectations of myself. You see, I think we've all been taught that, but it just hasn't quite sunk in on the practical level of how we relate to those that God puts in our charge or under their care. Now, let me try to flesh that out for just a second. What exactly was the Lord looking for Aaron to do? So if he's an assistant, what's Aaron's job? In this little scene, what's Aaron's job? To walk. Faithfulness looks like walking. Aaron, go. Verse 27b. He went. So that's what it means to be faithful, to be loyal to God, to move the kingdom of heaven forward in this moment meant walk. Now what about Moses? How was thy kingdom going to come? How was the gospel and salvation going to spread to the ends of the earth in this moment? What was Moses supposed to do? Talk. That's it. In this moment, Aaron, you walk. Moses, you talk. The rest will become clear later. You see, they're assistants. They're not the one with the whole plan here. So that's the standard in this moment. In this moment, here's God's standard. Walk, talk. Now, the reason why I want you to know this and me to know this is that if you can do this, if you can understand that here and now, I'm just an assistant. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a completely sanctified person yet. Neither is Richard. Neither will the next pastor be. If that can sink in, you know what you'll guard yourself against? Something that Jesus said when he said, with the measure you use, it will be measured against you. Jesus said that. You can protect yourself against that if you can accept that we're just assistants. Now, why is that helpful? Because if you can see that I'm just an assistant, you can accept that I'm not accountable to you first. I'm accountable to God. You see, He's the one with the standard. Now, guess what? His standard might be lower than yours. I mean, in this moment, it was just walk, talk. That's not real high. His standard might be lower than yours. Someone could be very, very faithful. They just have 2 talents and they turned it into 4. But if you think they should have 10 talents and turn it into 20, your standard's higher than God's. You see, that's what we're being taught to guard against here. You think highly of Aaron and Moses? Okay, you should. But why? Because they were good assistants. Because they walked. Because they talked. That was the standard. That's God's standard. So that's what I'm trying to guard us against. Is the first twisty tie is, okay, let's make sure when it comes to thinking and relating to those that the Lord sends to do His work, no matter how much influence they have, no matter how many gifts they have, no matter how much experience they have or lack thereof, they are ultimately just assistants of King Jesus. That's where you have to start. It's His standard that they're accountable to, and we may or may not know that standard. Okay, so that's where we start. Now, that's the one that probably you're most familiar with. Now, this next one, maybe not so much. We'll see. So, anyone who's going to volunteer to serve the Lord is His assistant. Now, they are also administrators of His affairs. Now that word, I'm not making that word up. That is exactly the word that you have in 1 Corinthians 4:1, oikonomos, where we get our word economy or steward. This is somebody who is making decisions as they see fit to take care of what's in their charge. So that means that there's some latitude. Right? There's some latitude. Okay, so the Lord's command to Moses is very straightforward. If you go back and read it in Exodus 3 and 4, it's very straightforward. Aaron's coming to meet you. Tell him what I've told you. Show Aaron what I've showed you. Now maybe after the service you can go back and comb through Exodus 3 and 4 and find a place where the Lord said, now, after you do that, go gather the elders. Because that's going to be the most strategic way to make sure that what I've told you and what I've showed you is going to stick with the people. Now maybe that's in there and I missed it, but I didn't see it. Looks to me like Aaron and Moses said, this will be the best way to carry out what we've been told to do. If we can make it sink in with the elders, we can make it sink in with the people. They're making an administrative decision. They're making a decision that they see fit to execute the command that they've received. And I'm suggesting that there's latitude there, that you can't find a command to do that. This is them being a good administrator. This is them being exactly what Paul said that the servants of God, the ministers of God are. They oversee and they attend to God's affairs. So, here's the, big point of the night. We have to tie these two together. The pastor's not just an assistant, and he's certainly not sure just an administrator. He's these two things twisty tied into one man. And here's what I'm suggesting. That's what we ought to mean by the word pastor. That's what you ought to think. That it's these two things twisted by the word of God. If you don't like the word twisted, sewn, united together into one set of understanding. So they're tied together. Assistants of Jesus Christ, assistants of God, administrators of divine affairs. Okay, now what happens if you don't do that? Like if you're at this point, like, well, who cares? Like, what happens if I don't pick up what you're putting down? Well, if you don't see God's man as his assistant, you're going to credit him instead of God. I've done that. I have. It's really embarrassing now to think about some of the things I've said to ministers, treating them like God, because I thought they were God. I mean, God did something to me in a worship service like this. So I said, man, that came from that guy. And guess what I did every time I went to a church service beside the one that I had just been in? I went expecting that minister to do what this one had just done. Because I was like, well, if it's coming from the minister, you should be able to do it every time. So you're not going to give God the glory. And that's the chief end of man, to make sure that God gets credit for what God has done. Now, the second part, if you don't allow yourself to see that this man is responsible to administrate the affairs of God, you could end up calling something common that is actually holy. And that's what we have to avoid. You know, as Christians, our main responsibility is to be holy. And that certainly means not letting ourselves call anything common that is actually holy. Let me illustrate. So, believe it or not, this might make you laugh. I was a youth leader at one point. Imagine me as a youth leader. 45-minute lessons, no games, it was great. So, believe it or not, I was a youth leader and at another church. And every Tuesday at 2:30, we had staff meetings. And now these staff meetings were incredibly well run. I mean, they were very, very well administrated. But they really troubled me. In fact, they were really one of the things that kept me out of wanting to do ministry at all. I just couldn't get over how troubled I was by these meetings. Because I can remember sitting there thinking, this is so unspiritual. This is so uninspiring. This is so ordinary. Like, I'm on zero high right now. Let's go back to the chapel. Let's go back to the sanctuary. Let's go back where there is music, where there is preaching, where there is emotion. That's whatever ministry that is, sign me up for that. This whole sitting around the table and administrating, that's ministry. I don't want to do it. Because it's so common. Like, this is what people do in boardrooms. This is what people do in places where there are cubicles. I don't want to do that. It's not holy. And you see what I did there? I had not tied together in my mind two things that the Bible does tie together. Now, for your own sake, tomorrow, when you go wherever you go, you can't let yourself make the mistake of thinking, well, there's no ministry component to what I do because it's so common and it's so ordinary. No, 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 no. You too are an assistant of Jesus Christ. You too are overseeing His affairs. You're just doing it outside the four walls of the church instead of inside the four walls of the church. But anyway, back to the staff meetings. I had not tied together in my mind two things that the Bible does. Namely, that assisting King Jesus and administrating His divine affairs are two parts of one holy calling. One is just as spiritual as the other. One is just as necessary as the other. But I couldn't see that. I mean, we would sit around and talk about things like new members' classes, shepherding lists, budgets. I remember one conversation about communication points, and I just wanted to go like, who cares? You know what the answer to that question is? God does. God cares. That's how the work gets done. That's what you do after you leave the sanctuary. You get down and you do it with your hands. You do it with your feet. Those two are twisted together in one renewed mind of what we mean by the word minister. Now, that's all well and fine, but let's ask the real important question. Does that work? Does that work? Well, let's see. Verse 31. Moses and Aaron, they've gathered the elders on behalf of the Lord. They've spoken what the Lord has said say. They've done what He said do. Now, what happens next? Blessing. Blessing. So these are the very people that Moses did not think would believe him. The main reason Moses said, I don't want to go do what you're asking me to do, is nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to accept me. And lo and behold, that's the first thing that they do, is they believe him. They accept him. But more than that, they bow and they worship. They worship the Lord their God. Now, let me pause here and clarify. When it says they bow, it's not like us right now, sitting. You need to imagine what Muslims do when they worship their God. They get on their knees, they put their head to the ground, and they stay there. Worship is a posture in the Bible, an attitude, a disposition. The posture reflects the inner attitude. You get on your knees and you put your face to the ground. That's what they're doing. Now, why are they doing that? Because they were convinced through the ordinary walking of Aaron, the talking of Aaron, and the talking of Moses, these very ordinary things, they were convinced through what the elders had heard that God had visited them. I mean, in this moment, I mean, think about it as it happened. If Moses and Aaron don't get buy-in from the people in this moment, this whole thing is shot. You've got to have buy-in from the leaders. You've got to have buy-in from the people. How are they going to get it? Here's how they're going to get it. Aaron, you walk. You go meet Moses. Moses, you talk. You tell him what I said. I will do the rest. You see what you're getting there? You're getting things that you pick up in the New Testament like this. What is Paul? What is Apollos? What is Hunter? What is Richard? Servants through whom you believe. Means through which God blesses you. And all I want you to see is that God has blessed this way of seeing people like me. So, whoever stands here, you know, let me pause before I say that. I sometimes think about what it will be like if I'm ever in your shoes. Like, let's say the Lord leads me out of church ministry and I have a job like you have a job, and my Monday through Friday looks more like you. What's it going to be like for me to sit in the pew, having done this for 5 years or so? What's that going to be like? What's it going to be like for another man to stand here and look at someone like me who's done all this before? What would he need from me most in that moment? He would need me to tie these two things together. That you are God's assistant. I see that. I see a man who's flesh just like me, who's got weaknesses and flaws and insecurities just like me. But in moments like this, I'm looking through him to God. That's what I'm after. That's what he needs from me if I'm in your shoes. To see me as God's assistant, but also to see that however I choose, or however he chooses, if I'm you, to conduct his affairs is between him and God. God is the one who sets the standard. God is the one who does the evaluating. And if I can do that, he can stand up here and be and do what God needs him to be and do. And the result of that, according to verse 31, is that the kingdom goes forward. The people get the blessing. The people see the kingdom advance. And so, that's what the Word of God has for us tonight, just in this little paragraph. And all I want you to see is that what you're taught in the New Testament is illustrated right here in the Old. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:1, let all regard us this way, as assistants of Jesus Christ and administrators of the mysteries of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I give you thanks for your word. Thank you for these friends. I thank you for the confidence that they have in you. Lord, I do pause to pray that these things would become a reality. How healthy would we be? How healthy could we become? How useful could we become if we understood that the Lord is our shepherd? If we understood that none of us are permitted to judge your servants. Forgive us, O God. Forgive me. But now your word has gone forth. Now you've laid out how you want your servants to be regarded. Especially when it's context in which we are your servants. And you put us in charge of something that belongs to you. So I'm praying that this little paragraph shape our thinking and renew our mind so that we can be useful to you and your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.